become protected and liberated. Protected in our vow and the liberation from the bodily conception of life. The four regulative principles are very much important in order to liberate from the effect of Kali, right? So, and the protection is given through chanting of the holy name, right? So, your path of pure devotion will be perfect. Now, when you are committing to chant for 16 rounds minimum daily, this is a great vow because the Mahamantra is very great. Ordinarily, people they generally do not come to even chant. They don't understand the efficacy of the holy name. They don't understand the necessity even in our life. So they are unfortunate. What can we do? But those who want to become a regularized devotee, then regularization means standard that's coming down from disciplic succession by taking vows that I will chant minimum 16 rounds is a great vow for deliverance. Krishna wants us to chant his holy name 24 hours a day. Alright? But chanting doesn't mean work that we do through our limbs, mind, intelligence and ego even. We need to utilize all these faculties to glorify the Lord. That is called chanting too. Our hands will perform the activities in service of Krishna. That is also a glorification of the Lord because it's a service attitude to the Master that will show glorification. What constitutes glorification is important. What doesn't constitute the glorification of the Lord, we have to shun off. All right. So, these four regulative principles, if we break, then it constitutes displeasure of the Lord. So, we should forbid, ourselves in entering to this forbidden activities. So, in understanding the efficacy of the holy name, ignorance has to be removed, anarthas have to be removed, and offenses have to be removed. When you are chanting with your own voluntary desire to please the Lord, then it's so purifying that immediately purification is on the way. You know, but keep it up. We may face difficulties in handling the issues of day to day, but if we live a life conducive to glorification of the Lord, then there is no problem. You know? So, third thing is that unwanted things which are creeping in our lives that may keep us entangled and won't allow us to liberate. So without liberation, how can we come back to God? So it is a proper way to cultivate ourselves by removing the unearth, so a desired result can be persuaded. So then we see the aparadhas or the offenses that are created. So if ignorance is continued, unwanted things are continued, then surely aparadhas will be also manifesting. But these are gross manifestation of our activities and which are not conducive. The holy name is very sensitive and will take offense on itself. If it is anything else, directly, indirect, but if it is connected with the holy name itself becomes offended. So it will withdraw its potency to purify, to make him advance, what to speak, you know, going back, come back to Godhead. That is not possible. So we are told to refrain from ten offenses, which are very preliminary. The first and foremost offense is to blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated his life in propagating the holy name of the Lord. So, blasphemy means to criticize. Unnecessarily, you know, put somebody into shame or defame him or discourage him or do anything that, it's not conducive to Vaishnava behavior. Unnecessarily take up a fight, you know, just to preserve our false ego. That is not good. So, for whatever reason, if we enter into this kind of dispute, which is not a Vaishnava behavior, but to offend a devotee who has dedicated his life in propagating the holy name, is very sensitive and the most, formidable offense. You cannot have any resolution or atonement. Seven, except if you go back to the person whom you offended and piteously beg his forgiveness. You know, that is the only remedy. The holy name is so sensitive on this issue that even Krishna would not help. Holy name and Krishna are no different. But if Krishna doesn't help, because he has so kindly invested his potencies in the holy name to obtain him, and that mercy will be immediately withdrawn. So all merciful Lord can withdraw his mercy upon that offender who has offended a pure devotee who has dedicated his life for the propagating of the holy name of the Lord. Such a person is very rare, and it is Krishna who is propagating. So Krishna invests such potency in a devotee who can propagate the holy name. Why do we have to criticize? There is no reason. So knowingly or unknowingly, always keep distance from this offense. Never desire to make an offense like this. Otherwise, our spiritual life will be doomed. Nobody can ever progress by offending a devotee. If he forgets to beg the forgiveness, you know, he will roam like ghost. Do you know Aswatthama's case? He has offended devotees, the Pandavas, by beheading the sleeping children, right? And made Draupadi cry so piteously. Such a grave offense, he was condemned, right? Even though he had long life, but yet he is always remaining fearful. So he's like a ghost, you know, roaming everywhere. But that means such a punishment is there. Even Durvasa Muni was very powerful, and he offended Amrish Maharaj, and he could not be saved by his father, that is Lord Shiva. He could not be saved by Brahma, and he could not be saved by Vishnu himself. So then he realized that only Amrish Maharaj can save him. You know, so unless and until he begs his forgiveness. So however a person may be so advanced, doesn't matter. But if he, you know, become careless and make an offense at the lotus feet of a pure devotee, then First of all, immediately he has to come to his senses, beg his forgiveness. The Vaishnava will always pardon. But if he doesn't, then his life is doomed. Alright? The second offense is to consider the names of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Because in the beginning there was the Supreme Lord Vishnu himself. And later everybody, were a manifestation of his expansions. So how come an expansion is independent than the origin? It doesn't make sense. Neither such a great demigods can be independent or equal. An expansion is not equal. A father is expanding himself in a son, but does it mean father and son are equal? No, one is dependent. A dependent is not an equal. He may have the quality, but there is difference in quantity. So, in this way, never consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, but to speak of other minor demigods and to be equal or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. The third offense is to disobey the orders of spiritual master. Spiritual master has only spiritual instructions, alright? And therefore, resolving our problems of life. So, the disciple has to cultivate full faith and try to understand the spiritual remedy through the instructions and make his life perfect. He cannot equate the spiritual master on the level of ordinary people because they are not important as far as spiritual life is concerned. The instruction of the spiritual master will be equal to for everybody. Alright? So especially those who are God brothers, God siblings and others, you may depend upon each other for practicing the orders of spiritual master. But not independently, otherwise it will be, say, for example, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in association with the devotees. And glorify the Lord, because this is a Sankirtan movement. It is not a private movement. Alright? The potency in chanting congregationally will be in any phase, whether it is a japa or it is singing. It is always, powerful, very powerful. Than if we do it all alone by ourselves. So, such instructions are important for our progress. Progress is mutual. It becomes so happy that we do not feel burden of a process that we cannot make any tangible progress. So process is perfect. And we have to follow it through the instructions of spiritual master. So he is not an ordinary person. So we can, take him for granted and this and that. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Our literatures are founded in Vedic conclusions. Shastre parecha nishnatam brahmani samuparshayam. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu seva uttamam. The conclusion of the Vedic Shastra is being given to you. The conclusion. One who gives the conclusion, the spiritual master receives this conclusion as the absolute truth, and we preserve and we pass on. So, it is being passed to you. It can be verified that Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are subservient part and parcel of Him. So in our natural relationship, you know, we have our own configuration, being part and parcel of Krishna, that is spiritual in nature, but we are subservient. So therefore, let's engage in that realistic relationship eternally. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy, perform devotional service and be happy. These are the Vedic conclusions. And these conclusions have been handed us from Guru Shishya Parampara. Right? So therefore, it should be carried on with full knowledgeability and responsibility. You know? So, if we consider this, oh, because I have learned it, I did masters in Vedic studies and this and that, but one fails to become a devotee, then what is the use of such knowledge? So such people who are, who have studied academically the Vedic literatures, they have a tendency to do many aparadhas to this particular fourth offense, that is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or Vedic conclusion. You know, because it may not be according to his liking, but yet the Vedas are always correct. So he cannot, on the strength of his false ego, tell, oh, these are man-made, oh, who cares? And these are offenses to the Vedic literature and its conclusion. And such people, they think that it's simply an imagination. Chanting Hare Krishna is also an imagination. These people who are puffed up, you know, out of madness, and they think chanting Hare Krishna is an imagination. He doesn't care to understand that where it is coming from, what is the reference to context, you know. When it's historically been proven, it is accepted in all the ages, and especially all the Kali Yuga, the holy name is the only means for salvation. How can an imagination run from age-old traditions? So such foolish interpretations or imaginations are not. Similar interpretations are also committed by these so-called scholars of Vedas or academicians. You know, that they try to give different meaning of the even Mahamantra. Prabhupada gave us the meaning of Mahamantra, means, my dear Radharani, please help me how to serve Krishna. Right? So from such simple, they say, oh no, this means that and that means this, and then you can make a combination the way you like. That's not fair. Spiritual master's mood and mission is embedded in the Mahamantra. Srila Prabhupada brought this mood and, right? He brought mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, unless and until that mood and mission is embedded in the Mahamantra, how could we propagate? Right? So, this fourth, fifth and sixth offenses are in only in line, you know, and it is generally committed by those who are academically puffed up people. Seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. People are averse to sense gratification, and they think they can do anything after chanting 16 rounds. You know? Now, it's a service to Krishna, and you cannot do nonsense, you know, on the strength of your service to Krishna. It doesn't give anybody liberty. Rather, it becomes an obstacle on the path of progression in devotional service. Then, eighth offense is to consider Hare Krishna chanting to be one of the ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as Karma Kanda. In Karma Kanda, we try to put our desire to be fulfilled and perform any sankalpa or determination for performance of a particular sacrifice or this or that. Karma Kanda yield a result that is going to be binding. But we are taking these vows for the pleasure of the Lord, for service of the Lord. How could this to be equated? We are not making any vow, I want to take initiation because I want to become Prime Minister of Australia. Do you want to take that kind of instruction? By my chanting, may Lord Krishna be pleased. And let me chant in such a way that Lord Krishna may be attracted to my service. Like that. So, that desire is to obtain love of Godhead. It is not like material, profit, adoration and distinction that we are asking by performing this so-called Karma Kanda. This is not Karma Kanda. Love does not come in Karma Kanda. Alright? The bondage comes in Karma Kanda. Love is exhibited in pure liberated state. You know, it's more valuable than anything which is temporary. So then, ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the Holy Name. You know, a faithless person is the one who is not going to develop anything. It's useless to waste time. If a faithless person comes here, what should we do? Kick him out? A faithless person comes here, you know, becomes inquisitive, you know, what do you want to do? Give him prasadam and say, Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. Please sit down and eat. Right? He likes prasadam so much that he forgets his faithlessness. That is the best remedy. So, but never instruct out of your own volition. Don't take chance, you know. Otherwise, he might commit an offense and you become an instrument to make him commit offense. Yes. We have to know first of all if he is worthy to get instructed or not. So tenth offense is to not to have complete faith in chanting the Holy Name and then to maintain material attachments also simultaneously. It's like, you know, an elephant takes a bath in very clean water and comes out and then throw dust on him, you know, makes everything a failure. So that's not good. So to keep material attachment and try for liberation is trying to ride on two different horses which are going in opposite direction, and surely we will be off nowhere. We'll lose both the horses. Right? So, that kind of thing is not at all desirable. It is also offensive to be inattentive while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because inattentiveness means we do not even listen. We do not even mean. We do not even see the need of chanting. You know? So, such chanting, if we are not paying any attention, how Krishna is going to pay attention? Right? So, we need to understand that whenever we chant targeting Lord Krishna with full attention so he can hear. Chant in such a way that he can hear. So in this way, these 10 offenses are cardinal, warnings. Almost all offenses except one, that is the first one, can be mitigated by chanting more and more and more and more. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be totally offended and will not become merciful upon the person who is going to, when he commits an offense at the lotus feet of a devotee of the Lord. He must guard against all the offenses in order to achieve Krishna prema. So,